This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you. My goodness sakes, God is so good, isn't he? I just marvel at what he does and how he desires for us to enter into ever-deepening union with him, the graces that he showers upon us and the many graces that he desires we receive from him. He is just an incredible God, this God of ours, and on this particular day, I'm standing in absolute joy and reflection of all that he accomplishes in us and through us. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we move forward in the program. But I want to begin by giving you the phone number. We are live for you today. And here is that number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where I like to say we enjoy having holy conversation with you. Actually, you're privileged to have the opportunity to talk with you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny's on the phones. Looking forward to hearing your happy little voice there when you call in. In addition to that, Jeff Burson is with us. He's our producer. He does our social media managing. He gets on out there into cyberspace and grabs all of that good stuff that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and he gets it up on the board for us. So I invite you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use that opportunity to join us here. So, I got to tell you, I'm fresh back from Malvern, Pennsylvania, where we had our Women of Grace annual retreat at Malvern. And it was really quite something. It was preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women. And, what do I say about it? It was dynamic. That's what I can say. It was absolutely dynamic. We had Father Nathan Cromley with us. He is the founder and president of the St. John Institute, which is housed at Walsh University in North Canton, Ohio. And he came in and I think really lifted us to a new place in our understanding of how important it is for us as the daughters of the Most High God to be actively engaged in the process of evangelization. But most importantly, and he kept underlining this for us, spiritual maternity, spiritual motherhood. And this is really at the heart and the center of what we do at Women of Grace. You know, our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time through a program of spiritual formation. And by program here, you know, obviously we carry this out through our television program, through our radio program. But here I'm talking about a program, a spiritual and intellectual program of moving more deeply into the reality of who we are as women. And it's a both and here, you know. You don't want to just sit in the cerebral portion of yourself, and you don't want to just sit in the emotional portion of yourself. The two have to be blended together. And when they are, tremendous things begin to happen. And he was showing us how this happens, and he was showing us how important our call is. He was helping us to identify and to see the various spheres of influence that have been entrusted to us. And it was just really wonderful. And this carried over into the retreat that went on through the course of the weekend. And we were absolutely, what do I want to say, just edified and enlightened by Dr. Carrie Gruss, who came and gave us two talks back to back on Saturday morning on her book, The Anti-Mary Exposed, as well as her book, The Marian Option. And we had a question and answer period there, and that was really marvelous. This was, you know, this was the cerebral that led us into the spiritual, and it was just a beautiful opportunity. I just want to tell you, you know, if you would like to order copies of the retreat talks, you can do that, even if you weren't there. I mean, the women there were signing up for them, obviously, but if you weren't there, we can send you those CDs. We certainly can. You have to pay for them. I'm just telling you, it's one of the ways that we're able to pay the bills at Women of Grace. Oftentimes people think, well, if you're a not-for-profit, you know, should you be selling anything? Well, we live in a temporal dimension here, folks, and, you know, you got to pay to have books printed. You got to pay to keep your software licenses active. You got to pay for people to do the work that you need to have done. Our staff is a tremendous staff, and it's a very slim staff. So all that being said, But we price them in a way that is accessible to you. So you can just, you know, call us at Women of Grace. We're happy to talk with you about it. Or email us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com or go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and see what we can do for you there. But I really think that it's one way in which we can continue to propagate the message that God gives us even after a retreat is over. Y'all can't come. We get that, right? But we can bring it to you in that way. That's for sure. So that was quite exciting. Another exciting thing that happened, and this, you know, it's a lovely thing when God just gives you opportunities that you never expect. And one of those opportunities that we never expected was that we would be able to republish one of Father Emil Neubert's beautiful books. And I talk about this book and have talked about it in the past. And you call and you want to know what the title is. And I always tell you it's going to be very expensive to buy it out there. And that just got me to thinking one day, you know, it's so expensive. I wonder if it would be possible to republish this book. And I went out there and I saw that it was, and we made good on that. And for those of you that are in social media land and can actually see us via Skype, I'm holding up this book, Queen of Militants by Father Emil Neubert. Queen of Militants by Father Emil Neubert. Women of Grace has republished this book. It's available to you, accessible to you, and it's priced rightly for you. So we're very, very excited about this, and we want to encourage you to consider purchasing this book. You can simply go to queenofmilitants.com. We kind of grab that URL, queenofmilitants, plural, .com, and you can order your book right there. We have packaged it for you in such a way that I think it's pretty to look at on the cover, easy to read on the inside, and this packs a wallop. And, you know, we talked about this, too, at the Women of Grace retreat, that we are all called to be militants. What is that? What is a militant? A militant is a member of the church militant. Who is the church militant? It's those of us that still have life in our temporal bodies, right? That still are functioning and take breath into our lungs, you know, and our hearts are still beating and blood is still coursing through our veins. It's all of us who remain on this pilgrim journey toward that ultimate moment when we meet Jesus Christ face to face. We're the church militant. What is our call? Our call is to holiness and blamelessness of life. Our call is to defend and protect Holy Mother Church. Our call is to expand the territory of Holy Mother Church. And in this beautiful book, Father Emil Neubert tells us how to do all of that. So, you know, if you want to know what a definition of a militant is, as I've just explained it, and why you by name are one of them, why Mary is the most perfect of all militants, why Mary's role as Queen of Militants is essential for our time, Mary's method to form you as a soldier in her army, if you want to know how to go into battle with Mary to win the day for Christ Jesus, if you want to know the means by which you can be victorious in all of life's challenges, the personal, the cultural, the spiritual, I want for you to get a copy of this book available for you at queenofmilitants.com, queenofmilitants.com. Order it. We'll be happy to get it out to you, and it's available for you there. Well, here you hear that music. We're off to a break. I can't believe I've talked this entire time, but I have. And I hope now that you will talk by calling us at 833-288-E. EWTN, that's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you there. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, another way you can communicate with us. We're going to be right back. I'm Johnette Williams. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We are happy to be with you. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call, and it's Michael Birchfield who's with us call screening today. Ryan Penny is not in, and we've got Michael with us. And so welcome, Michael. We're really happy to have you with us today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. Also, you can join us via the chat features at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to get on out there and to register your question, comment, insight, word of encouragement, anything that you want to share with us there. We will get it up here on the board and we will address it. I look forward to hearing from you. So we went to the break and we were talking about the fact that we do indeed have a great call and mission today. There's no question about it. And it's interesting because we look at where we are in time and we kind of read the sign of the times and we talk about this word militant. And unfortunately, I think that the first connotation that comes into our mind is a negative one. But militant is not a negative word. We are all called to fight for the good, right? And anyone who's fighting for a cause is a militant to that cause. We need to be militants for Christ Jesus today. We need to be making a good, holy representation of the church in this our day and time, even though she's beleaguered by so many things. We are called as laity to stand up. And if you will, to be a microphone for all that is good, all that is holy, all that is worthy, all that is beautiful, all that is lovely. We're to live out that passage from Philippians in everything that we think, say, and do. And our Blessed Mother, mediatrix of all grace, our spiritual mother, the one who intercedes on our behalf and on behalf of the entirety of the church, wants to help us and aid us. There is absolutely no question about it. And so, what we discover is a resurgence. And see, I think this comes by way of the Holy Spirit. There's a resurgence of interest in a consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I really want to encourage this concept. It was interesting because we were listening to Dr. Carrie Gress, and she was talking about the anti-Mary presented to us through radical feminism. She was sharing with us how there were 12 women, back in the 60s who were really apostles of this radical feminism. They were placed in positions whereby they could forward this event, sort of like the anti of the 12 apostles, right? And she talked about all of that. And she ends with the solution. And the solution found in her book, The Marian Option, that solution is what? That solution is consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I do want to mention that Dr. Gress's books are available for you at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. And so the reality is that it's not permissible for any one of us to remain idle. Those are not my words. Those are the words of St. John Paul II as he gives them to us in Christi Fidelis Laici. He says the state of affairs that exists within the culture of the day and within the church, herald, paraphrase there, these exact words, it is not permissible for anyone to remain idle. That means you. That means me. Sometimes we wring our hands and we beat the air, as Father Emile Neubert talks about, and we get ourselves all in a snit. We get ourselves all, riled up. And in some way, we're satisfied enough that there was emotion in us to get riled up and to get angry. And after our little explosion and hissy fit and complaining to everybody and ranting and raving, you know, we feel a certain sense of accomplishment. But that doesn't accomplish anything, does it? It just gets a little steam out of us. Maybe it helps our blood pressure to return to normal, but I doubt it. I think it causes more tension and anxiety in us and in everybody else. That isn't what helps. That's not helpful. That's not useful. What's useful is to be part of the solution. What is part of the solution? The part of the solution is working towards saving the peace of the world. And I do not mean by political structures. I do not mean by peace treaties. Yeah, that's all important. And it has its place. But if there isn't peace in our hearts, if there isn't peace in our souls, that peace is never going to be long lasting. The entirety of the history of man shows that to be true. We might always have wars. We might always have strife. But by the same token, we can forward the peace that surpasses understanding. And that only comes by way of the Holy Spirit, who entrusts to his spouse, our Blessed Lady, all of the graces to be distributed upon the brethren. And so we need to get under the spot where the glory pours out and open our hearts and our minds and be receptive to what God wants to do in us and through us by means of our Blessed Lady. And there's just no question about it. And, you know, Father Emile Neubert talks about this. St. Louis de Montfort talks about it. Blessed Chaminade talks about it. So does Maximilian Kolbe. You know, this is a beautiful thing. Maximilian Kolbe gives us so very much. And there's this little wee book. It's called Aim Higher, Reflections of Maximilian Kolbe. And it's just a book of reflections on him that's really set up in a way that helps for us to understand this whole concept and to live this whole concept. And, you know, we don't often understand why Our Lady is so important. She's so important because God deems her to be important in the whole cause of salvation. And this happens right at the moment of man's fall. This happens right at the moment of man's most egregious action against God. It happens right there in Genesis 3, verse 15, when God pronounces to the serpent, I will put enmities. What is an enmity? It's even greater than a war. And enmities is plural. I will put enmities between you, serpent, and the woman, between your seed and hers. You will strike at her heel and she will crush your head. Now, here's the thing. This is the interesting thing. When we see the seed, of course, you know, this came to me this weekend. See what you think about this. In Revelation 12, verse 17, we see, you know, this big, you know, breakout of war in the heavenlies, and Lucifer and a third of the angels are flung down to the earth, and, you know, they're outside of God's favor. It's at that moment that the angelic becomes demonic, and they're prancing around on the earth, you know, and that's what happens with Adam and Eve. It's the serpent in the garden that entraps them. But as you read through Revelation, it tells you about what happens to the woman, you know, and she goes off out into the desert. She gives birth to a child. And then it goes on and it says, and that the dragon continued to wage war against the brethren and those who keep the commandments of God. Well, you see, brethren is plural. Well, who's the brethren of the child that Our Lady gives birth to? Who are the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ? The brethren are his brothers and sisters in him, you and me. And so when we think about that, what's being said there is that, yes, there are going to be wars against us too, that are going to come by way of the evil one. And so this weekend I was thinking about that in light of Genesis 3. And here it talks about the seed. Well, the seed is a very specific seed. The seed is our Lord Jesus Christ. I will put enmities between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. Her seed is Jesus. But there's a relationship between that and Revelations 12, 17. Our Blessed Lady gives birth to the whole Christ. She gives birth to Jesus biologically, but also she gives birth to all of those who will follow him. That's what the whole deal was in the cenacle, in the upper room, after Jesus ascended into heaven. Holy Spirit comes down. Right? And the brethren of Christ then, the mystical body of Christ, begin to preach his word. So in a certain sense, I think, I don't know if you're a theologian, you can tell me, but it seems to me that the brethren of Christ are also anticipated in that particular passage. Thus see Jesus Christ, his true God, true man, his incarnation, but then all of those who come by way of him. Mary is our mother. She is our spiritual mother. She is the mother of the mystical body of Christ, having given birth to that mystical body through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And we, too, are part of that mystical body. And so we have a part to play here. We participate in this action of salvation that comes by way of the woman. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman, right? So there's something in this for you. So you are a militant fighting on behalf of Holy Mother Church, fighting on behalf of the good in our day and time, meant to bring that good about in this moment through the cooperation with grace that's given to us through the hands of Our Lady, who is our Queen. I just think that's beautiful. I just think it's wonderful. And so, you know, Maximilian Kolbe, I was saying, you know, there's lots, this isn't a new concept. This goes all the way back to the early church fathers. But, you know, what happens is things become refined and they become more defined and they become it's sort of like they become more in focus. And so Maximilian Kolbe talks about this too. And he says the motto of the Militia Immaculata. The Militia Immaculate in the Latin, Militia Immaculate, the Army of the Immaculate, of which you are a member. The motto of the Militia Immaculate, where in the general sense, here he's talking about the specific sense, that which he formed, he says, is this: to lead all men and every individual through Mary to the most sacred heart of Jesus. In other words, the Immaculata must become the queen of each and every soul. So she's the soul of the totality, or she's the queen of the totality, but she's meant to be the queen of every member. And we go under her orders because it's the way God ordained it. It's the way he set it up. Genesis 3:15, Revelation 12. So all that being said, you know, I guess what I am saying to you today, I want to encourage you. We look out there and we see that it looks bleak and it looks hard, and it is. It's bleak and it's hard. There isn't any question about that. But St. Paul tells us that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I had the women say this. I had them memorize that. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And then I had them say, I told them, take that first person plural pronoun we out and substitute the first person singular pronoun I. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We have to remember that. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And who gives us the grace to be that conqueror? Our Blessed Lady, mediatrix of all grace. So she then plays this key role in the salvation of every day and of every time. She plays a key role in the salvation of every moment of your life. She plays a key role in the salvation and redemption of every contradiction in your life, every setback, every trial, every suffering. We have to go to the well where the glory is, right? We got to go to under the spot where the glory pours out. And that's underneath this beautiful, beautiful reality of our Blessed Lady, who mediatrix of all grace, who gives us what we need. That statue of Our Lady of Grace, her hands are extended. What is she doing? She's raining down the graces that her spouse, the Holy Spirit, gives her to distribute upon you and me. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. There's no other place to be. Be there. Be there, because that's God's divine and holy order, which he set up from the dawn of human civilization. Well, I'm going to give you those numbers again, because Michael Birchfield wants to continue answering phones. And we're going to go to all of you who have just called us. Phone lines lighting up here today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're open for business today. We'll talk about this topic or anything else you want to talk about right here on Women of Grace Live. Let's go to Emil, Carolina Catholic Radio. She's a first-time caller. Or he's a gentleman. Hi, how are you? Good morning to you, Emil.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. So what's going on in your life?
Well, so the question is, what are some suggestions for, so I'm 28 years old and my mother is in her 60s. Okay. So what are some suggestions you might have for, just adult offspring to really encourage and, in their own being, create a relationship and situations and circumstances that encourage women to be women of grace, perhaps specifically, mothers.
Well, isn't this a beautiful question? And what a beautiful son you are, Emil, to want to forward this kind of action in your home. This is just remarkable. And it's beautiful. And, you know, first of all, I think that the very first way that we witness is through the way in which we live. Our witness, our lifestyle, the pattern of life that we develop becomes a light that shines in the darkness. And it becomes a light that, you know, sits on the hill and leads people to where we need to go. And I believe that as you live your faith, as you seek for holiness and blamelessness of life, which is the purpose for which you were created, so that the God life lives in you, and that God life becomes pronounced in your daily activities, that in and of itself is a powerful, powerful testimony to the work of God, and it speaks of him. So that's number one. So what I would suggest for you personally, desiring to forward this kind of beautiful opportunity, would be, you know, make sure that your prayer life is intact, to make sure that you're receiving the sacraments on a consistent basis, the sacrament of confession, receiving our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity as often as you can and is reasonable for you given your state in life, but most definitely every Sunday and on holy days of obligation. I would encourage you to begin to be active with other individuals who are serious about their spiritual life, so that the spiritual life in you is fostered and grows strong and grows well and the roots grow deep. So I would suggest that. That's all. Those are the ingredients that make for a vibrant witness in the world, whether we speak words about it or we don't speak words about it, okay? Then I would make use of every opportunity. That's what St. Paul talks about. He says that, you know, we make use of every opportunity. So when the Holy Spirit prompts to speak, or when the opportunity presents itself to speak, that we speak unapologetically, but always with love. You know, Father Nathan Cromley, in the homily yesterday that closed out our retreat, and by the way, if you order those CDs, that homily is on there. He talked about, he says, love is the bridge that truth walks upon. So when you have relationships that are struggling, right, whether it's a husband and a wife, or whether it's a brother and a sister, whether it's two friends who are estranged, whether it's somebody that you really want to bring the word of God to, you build a relationship. And that relationship, that love, is a bridge. And what then can walk over that bridge is truth, but only when the relationship is strong. Now, I'm going to give you some more pointers when we come back from the break. And friends, we're inviting you to join us. So I'm asking you, Emil, to stay with us. We want you to join us too, friends. I'm going to give you that number again, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986 is the way you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having a holy conversation with you. Phone lines are open. We're in business. We've got Michael Birchfield on the phone today. We've got Jeff Burson out there on social media land. You can leave your questions at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. Call us at 833-288-EWTN. Coming back right after the break.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We are happy to be with you today, encouraging you to give us a call here. We've got Michael Birchfield on the phone. We've also got Jeff Burson out there in social media land, and he can take your questions via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And so the number for you to call is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Emil on the line. He is with us from Gastonia, North Carolina. We're so happy that he's with us via Carolina Catholic Radio, and he's a first-time caller, and he wants to know, as a young man, what can he do to encourage grace in his relationship living at home with his mother. So we were talking about a life of prayer, Emil, and we talked about the fact that as we live that life, we, by our witness, by our own way of life, begin to encourage others, even without words, but we use words when the opportunity presents itself. But we have to do so in a loving way. And if we've built a loving relationship with the person that we want to evangelize or lead into a deeper relationship with our Lord, then, you know, the words that we then speak have a credibility and a power that they wouldn't have if that bridge of love, as Father Nathan Cromley called it yesterday, when we were at our closing mass for our Malvern retreat, you know, if that bridge of love hadn't been built first. So he says, build this bridge of love, and truth then can walk upon it. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful image in the mind. So I suggest all of that. Now, if your mom is already actively engaged in her Catholic faith, I would really encourage you to see if there is a Women of Grace foundational study that's going on in your area or in your parish. If not, you know, you can be a man who goes to the pastor and says, we really need to begin this program for women, because it is foundational, meaning that it really builds a foundation for faith. It gives us a solid foundation upon which the spiritual life and the moral life can begin to build. And it's a beautiful thing to watch that happen. It grows up a beautiful edifice in the soul, and it also grows up a beautiful bond of spiritual, of sacred sisterhood between the women who come, and they encourage each other. It's a way of forming a sacred sisterhood. It's a way of forming a very holy friendship. So I would encourage you in those areas. So, you know, well, how does any of that sound to you? Is it resonating with you on any level, Emil?
Oh, yeah, sure is. Yeah. Because it's difficult to give particular and specific advice, because And the prayer allows, you know, the advice to come from the most ideal source. So I definitely resonate with what you're saying.
I'm glad. And, you know, and if you haven't consecrated yourself to Jesus through Mary, I would really want to encourage you to consider it. I promote the de Montfort consecration because it's the fullest in terms of you know, the richness that's given to us in his treatise on true devotion, that St. Louis de Montfort. The Kolbe consecration, beautiful. I would go with one of those two. But, you know, I always promote St. Louis de Montfort because his treatise really gives us the nitty-gritty of it. And if we need more explanation on that, then again, you know, I mentioned the Queen of Militants book. And I'm not sure we checked on that, and I don't know that we've got it all up there, you know, at this point. But we're going to have it up there. So we will see when that's actually live, I'll let you know is what I'm trying to say. But Father Emil Nubert's books are great. Anyway, I think that you've got the gist of it. You know, our Blessed Mother facilitates these things for us. That's what she does. She makes the way easy for us. So that's why I always recommend this consecration. Besides that, she wants to mother our soul. And I can't think of a better spiritual mother than Our Lady.
Hey, thanks for your help.
Well, thank you, Emil, and God bless you, okay?
Hey, take care.
You too. Bye-bye now. What a wonderful young man, huh? 28 years old, and he wants to encourage, you know, a grace-filled home. He's living at home with his mom. I just think that's quite remarkable and quite beautiful. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We've got a YouTube question out there, and Mike wants to know, why we are the church militant, you know, he wants to know, what does that mean exactly? Well, in the communion of saints, we talk about the church triumphant. Those are the saints in heaven. We talk about the church suffering. Those are the holy souls in purgatory. We talk about the church militant. That would be you and me as we, you know, fight forward for our own salvation and the salvation of the world, right? So we haven't made it to the church triumphant. We're not saints yet. We're not deceased, you know, and we don't find ourselves in purgatory. We're all connected in the mystical body of Christ, the church triumphant, the church suffering, and the church militant. But for those of us that sojourn on this earth, for those of us that are still living, we are still fighting the good fight, so to speak, right? And we are fighting, you know, against the powers and principalities that would seek to take us out through temptation to sin and falling into sin. And we also want to promote the gospel message in our day and time, because this time has been entrusted to us to do so. And we've been entrusted to this time for that very purpose. So I would say that, Mike, the idea is we're militant because we are the only word I can think of right now. We are fighting for the victory. We haven't tasted the victory yet. We're fighting towards the victory. That victory comes at the end of our lives, at the particular judgment with our Lord Jesus Christ, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, or he says, look, here's this, and this. How do you make an account for it, right? So we are engaged in the battle against powers and principalities every day. And that's why we're called the church militant. I hope that that helps you. We're going to go to Mike. He's in Columbus, Ohio. He is with St. Gabriel Radio. He is a first-time caller, too. We're ringing our first-time caller bell. How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I guess this fits in really well with the theme of today. After your Friday show, you know, I always carry my miraculous medal, and I was really excited, and I looked up the website, the official site of the Militia of the Immaculate.
Yes.
And I wanted to make my consecration to Mary, and it gives a lot of good instruction on how to register, but I didn't know, like, if I need to run it by my pastor, if I need to be blessed somehow, or is this something you just do, like, yourself?
Oh, Mike, what a beautiful question. You know, you give me goosebumps just by the sincerity of your soul and your great and deep desire. Thank you so much for sharing this on the air. Actually, we can make the consecration on our own. We don't have to go through a formal process, although I will say that, you know, many parishes will have a formal process for this, but the majority of them do not. Sometimes, you know, a prayer community or a group of people that meet for Bible study will do the consecration together. I know that at Women of Grace, many of our study group ladies will do the consecration together. And that's always very beautiful because you can talk about it as you're doing your preparation. If I'm not mistaken, I think that St. Maximilian Kolbe's preparation time is 8 days. St. Louis de Montfort's is 33 days. And you're out there on the site of the Immaculata. So my thinking is that, you know, maybe Our Lady is prompting you in that direction. So I would heed what they say. Now, when you do the de Montfort consecration, I did do Maximilian Kolbe's consecration 1 year when I was renewing. And I didn't notice this. It's not to say that it's not there. But when you do the de Montfort consecration, St. Louis encourages us to sign, you know, a profession of consecration to Jesus through Mary, if you will. And he offers a document there. And I think it's a beautiful thing to sign that. You can do it individually again, but I think it's particularly lovely if you let your pastor know you're doing this and you sign the document in his presence, and then he can bless you. You know, he can give you a blessing to encourage you along your way. The importance of that is that, you know, there's something, there's a passage in sacred scripture, I think it's in Habakkuk, and it says, write the vision down, and wait patiently for it to come, because the vision still has its time, something like that. There is something very powerful about writing. You know, anytime that you do something very serious, you write it. For example, if you get married, you know, you sign that marriage license. There's something released in the supernatural. I think that when we take those kinds of steps to really codify something that we're doing. But is there anything that's required outside of a sincere heart and the adequate preparation and the formalization of the process by praying the prayer of consecration? No, there isn't. Anything that you want to add to that is particularly lovely, however. Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely, because a friend of mine I made in the church, he gave me the Miraculous Medal.
Yes.
And ever since, I've just grown more and more close to loving Mary and everything you talk about every day. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm so happy for you. And Our Lady loves you so very, very much. And she has this way, you know, of taking us into her Immaculate Heart. Is that the end? No, because what does she do? When we are in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, she immediately takes us to the Sacred Heart of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we try to split this up, but their heart's beat is one heart. And so, you know, we're never in jeopardy of placing more emphasis on Mary when we are in her Immaculate Heart and when we observe true devotion to her. She's not the end, but she takes us to her Son, and she does so in such a beautiful way that we experience her maternal graces, and she loves us into life in her Son. So I'm just so excited for you, and I hope that you will keep us informed of your progress and how this goes for you. We would love to know. I would love to know.
Okay, I'll send you an email then.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. Women of Grace at EWTN.com is the email to use. Thank you, good man. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, you know, here's another example. You know, we've had these two calls, and I think both of them are representative of one thing, that our Blessed Lady is raising up an army today. What? To reclaim this culture. To reclaim this culture for her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But that only happens when our soul has been reclaimed. It only happens when we open ourselves up to the majesty of God and the wonders that he wants to share with us. It only happens when we invite, you know, the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives. And our Blessed Lady is but a facilitator to take us there. And she should know. She's the very one whom God the Father entrusted his Son to. you know, she raised Jesus up in the way he should go. Surely if she was good enough for Jesus, she's got to be good enough for us. There's just no two ways about it. You know, the thing is, she loves you into the life of her son. That's what she does. And she shares the mysteries of his divine life with us. She takes us into those mysteries of the rosary, for example, and she just encourages the realities in our soul. I don't know how else to phrase it. She's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. What a good mother. And how could she not be a good mother when she is fixed to the heart of her son and is the spouse of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so we have some questions out here on YouTube, and we're going to take a look at these questions. And I want to encourage you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we have Agnes, who left us a message. She says, please pray for all. She's asking for prayers for all of her family and for her mother, Judith. She has 69 grandchildren and 69 grandchildren and great grandchildren. And Agnes is asking for prayers, for healing and conversion. And this is important. And this is another way in which we enter into, if you will, the apostolate of our Blessed Lady, because Our Lady intercedes for all of us, right? Intercedes for all of us. And so here we are. We then stand with our Blessed Lady in her intercession to the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we pray. And so let's just do that now. And you know, this God works on behalf of the many, not just the one. So we're going to pray specifically for Agnes's family. But I also know that God would have us lift our families up as well. So any need that any of us have, and I'm just thinking for every listener, we've got more than one need. Let's just lift them up now through an act of the will, right? We lift them up, and that's the intention of our prayer. We're praying, Father God, in a specific way for Agnes, but for all of those that are listening today, for all of their prayer intentions, for the greatest needs that they carry within their hearts, for all of the ways in which their individual family members need to be healed, the way in which they need to convert, the way in which they need to surrender to your almighty power, your glory, and most importantly, your love. And so it is, Father God, that we come before you in this moment, and we lift all of this up to you. In a special way, we remember Agnes and her family. We remember these 69 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We pray for the conversion and the healing that is necessary for this entire family. But we also present to you alongside all of our family members, all of the ones that we love that are in need of conversion, all of the ones that we love that are in need of healing. We lift them up, and I would just invite you, friends, to just see them. You don't have to say their names. Just see them and lift them up to the throne of God. He knows who they are. I trust me, he does. He knows who they are. Just lift them up to the Lord now. Father God, we just lift them up to you, and we ask that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to affect these healings, begin to affect these conversions. We ask that these opportunities that you present through your Holy Spirit would not be set to the side, but would rather be received by each and every family member as the prompting comes. I ask that this would happen through the intercession of our Blessed Lady and her maternal beatitude and our prayers in her most immaculate heart as she raises this prayer on our behalf to you. We know that you refuse her nothing because she is always in your divine and holy will. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who affects all things by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. So, you know, we worry a lot, and I understand there's a reason to worry, but worry does nothing, and fear is useless. Jesus tells us that. He says, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. True resolve under severe testing. We might feel the weight of the cross that we carry for our loved ones, but the Lord never wants for us to only see the cross. He wants for us to see into the cross, and he wants us to see the redemptive grace that is there. He wants us to see the way in which he desires to work. He wants us to see the fact that even when the thought entered our mind, before the thought entered our mind, he was already about this process of healing and conversion. And when we see the little signs, here's a little tip. When we see the little signs happening, be sure to recognize them. Be sure to affirm the person that we want to convert. Be sure to affirm the person who is in need of the healing. Be sure to let them know that we see and appreciate, not in some platitudinous way, not in a type of flattery, but in a way that really brings life with it. For example, you're praying for a young person. They're far away from the church. You know, maybe they've even messed up in their life horribly, but you catch them doing something wonderful, you know, and you comment on it. You know, you just say, oh, you know, it really touched me deeply when, you know, I saw you, helping your younger brother to do his math problems. You know, that just really lit up something in my heart. Thank you. It was a blessing for me today. God bless you, son. You know, just little things. Be sure to catch them doing something right. And then affirm them in that. That breathes life into their souls. It breathes life into their souls. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Now, that means that we have to have a supernatural outlook, right? To be able to see into the cross and find there this treasure of grace means that we need to be looking for it. We're very good. We're very good, you know, at telling God what we want. We're very good at, you know, knocking on his door. But are we really good at seeking what he's already doing? That's the question I want to know. Are we good at seeking what he's already doing? And this is true in all ways, in the microcosm of our life that we live every day, but then in the macrocosm of the world community in which we live. And this is the way that we raise people up. This is the way that we communicate the love of God to them. So never be afraid to pass on a compliment duly deserved. As a matter of fact, look for things to compliment, right? Because we have been given and entrusted with every person that crosses our path. So we invite you to consider that today, even as you're considering this whole concept of consecration to Jesus through Mary. And here's something that Maximilian Kolbe shares with us. He says, do you know that the Immaculata can also perform miracles? Do you know that? And she can. Do you know that everyone can become a saint and a great saint with the aid of the Immaculata if only that soul, that person wills it? Do you know that? Are you aware of the fact that only the present moment is in our hands? How important then is the present moment? How important is the reminder that we are to sanctify ourselves now? Do you hear that? We're to sanctify ourselves now. Even as you're hearing my voice, now is the moment of sanctification. We're to sanctify ourselves now, not at any other time. We should sanctify ourselves at every moment because we do not know whether the next will be ours. And he says, let us diligently guard our stainless purity of conscience. And should it be stained, let us try to cleanse it as soon as possible, obviously through the holy sacrament of confession. Do you know that I can really be a saint if only I will it? These are the things. We're coming to the close of the program. A word about the present moment. You know, sometimes we spend so much time ruminating about the past and how we wish we would have done things differently. So often we find ourselves worrying about the future and what we will do if certain things occur. We're so busy about those things that we forget that God is not in the past and he's not in the future. He's in the present moment. When the past was the present moment, he was there. And when the future becomes the present moment, he'll be there. But God is found in the present moment. And if God is in the present moment, that's where his grace is. That's where his mercy is. That's where his love is. And so therefore, we want to keep ourselves recollected, focused on the present moment, that in that present moment, we might obtain every spiritual blessing in the heavens that it holds for us. So even as we come to the close of the day here, my dear friends, I invite you, live in the present moment. It's been lovely being with you. Looking forward to having you with us again tomorrow right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Send your questions to us via email, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Until tomorrow, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours, and may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.